Welcome, welcome, one and all, to the DL Debate. This is your weekly radio show and podcast, bringing you up to date on all the events on the GA World of the weekend. I want to thank, of course, to Donna Marie for the news, for Ivan Borland for the Power Hour Plus, for getting us all going on a Monday evening. It was a bit of a slow start to the week for me. I don't know about you. I want to put a wee shout out just to Paddy McDevitt in Boston, listening in there. Paddy, of course, responsible for a lot of success at Donegal Boston, has helped many a Donegal person out there doing great work. He's now a delegate, of course, to the GA out in North America there. Keep up the good work. Paddy was back recently, actually. We were at the game in O'Donnell Park where we had a good after-match bit of crack. We all headed to Sister Sarah's then, and it was a great day. Always great to catch up with Paddy. Joe Dex is here. Joe, how are you? Thumbs up. Joe Dex here, producing as ever and keeping me right. This the man, the myth, the legend, Park Helfrey, I think is going to drop in at some stage this evening. Rumour has it he's doing a bit of work this evening. I don't know if anybody can verify that, but I think he's going to land in and give us his views on the weekend. We're also soon going to hear a couple of interviews from yesterday's game, the big game in Ballyshannon, football back in Fallertierney Park for the first time in 4 years. I'm going to hear from Donegal manager Jim McGuinness and Niamh Connell and Donegal player Kieran Thompson. Of course, you got an All-Star Club All-Star Award at the weekend. Well done to them. After that, we're going to speak with Gordon Manning, the Irish Times columnist. We're going to review all the weekend's GAA action, of course, and a good bit of talk, of course, go in depth on Donegal and Donegal and Louth, and be interesting to get that outside view as well from Gordon. We'll talk about Derry, Dublin, Tyrone, Kerry, and any other news that comes up. Of course, this new group that's been set up to save the GAA. I don't know if that's if it just needs saving. There might be a few tweaks that are needed, I think. But yeah, it's interesting now they've assembled quite a group. Jim Gavin heading it up, the Buddha, Jim Gavin. That's coming up later. We're going to hear from Niamh McLaughlin as well, after Donegal Ladies lost out to Tyrone in the league. We're going to hear from Kevin Campbell as well, the Setanta and former Donegal hurling Setanta player manager. He is in charge of Scolwara, who are in All-Ireland final this weekend, and so are Abbey vs Donegal Town. So we're going to hear from Kevin later on in the show too. That's all coming up, but as I say, we're going to kick it off with the man himself, Jimmy McGuinness, after Donegal's victory over Louth, keeping him up at the top of the table and almost ready for promotion. I caught up with him after the game. Jim, a sticky encounter with Louth. Their league position didn't really, I suppose, reflect their performances in the league. Indeed, two tough games with our man Cavan, teams that we've had difficult encounters with as well. So it was how it panned out today, a very sticky, well-set-up side and a difficult opponent.
No, definitely, Brendan. Lost three games by a point and won the game that they did, won by a point. So you're right, it was definitely going to be all that. But we also knew that was going to be the case. And I suppose in the first half in particular, we were disappointed with our decision making. A lot of the decision making, we made it a wee bit easy for them, taking the ball into contact. A lot of body central there from their point of view, and gaps weren't there, and we were getting turned over. And that left, you know, double transitions are a hard thing to defend, and that's what we were dealing with a lot in the first half, and unforced errors. The second half, we were much more happy in terms of even though we were into the breeze, we were able to keep the ball, use the ball, recycle the ball. I suppose attack on our own terms, you know, at the right time and the right moment, and try and get a quality shot off. And that's kind of the way that it panned out. And we had much more control of the game in the second half. So from that point of view, we're delighted to get two more points on the board. That's the most important thing, Brendan. And we knew what we were going to get with Louth, which was going to be a tough, tough, tough battle. Turned out that way. And we have to, I suppose, now replenish a wee bit, I think, because it's been a very intensive period. And then get ready for Kildare in a fortnight.
Yeah, the league's about learning, of course. Jim, you're facing a real strictly sitting in deep defence. A lot of our good play earlier in the league is coming from deep running, from strong running off the ball. They didn't allow us to do that, so we had to up it into more of a work-the-ball type game plan. As you say, there was a lot of maybe poor play in that, but then again, again, these are the things you need to iron out in the league, and certainly when it comes into the Championship, you're going to play against a defence which is going to set something similar.
I know, definitely. I think, though, in the last couple of games, when we were in that phase, we were much more controlled and we did get good shots off and we understood what we wanted to do and what the finish line looked like in terms of sort of our movement and who we wanted to get on the ball and all those types of things. So we felt, I suppose, we were making decent progress on that front, and it was a wee bit of a step backwards in the first half today, but then we managed to sort of, again, as I said earlier, get a more control of the game in the second half, and that's probably what resulted in us getting the 2 points.
Yeah, and I seen you saying to Jack McKelvey, get us a goal before he went on. It was an instruction was clear, but the two subs combining, Jim, there was a bit of maybe controversy about the goal, about a potential a foul on the ball, but that goal was pivotal. You know, give us that wee bit of a cover in terms of stretching out the game, and it was a massive score.
I'm not going to lie to you now, I didn't tell him to go. I'd like to. I would like to say that I did that, but no, I didn't. I think it was more sort of rudimental than that there. But yeah, listen, again, we looked at a good few players. Jack started the day first. I think that was the first team he started first in the National League. So that's an important piece. And listen, we have a lot of players injured. You know, we have a lot of players injured that we're hoping to be getting back into the equation over the next number of weeks. And so it's great to be one of these games, Brendan, and tough games whenever we have, you know, a lot of players that would that have played for Donegal, you know, and have a lot of experience with Donegal over the last number of years.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to know, Jim, just at 6 points up, have you ever felt as a coach just to keep the ball? Louth were still sitting completely in their blanket. Now, we played about with the ball. I think it was Kieran went for a pass across the far left-hand side. We give away possession. They got 2 points in a row, and wee bit of momentum. Do you ever feel at that stage just to come right back and try and suck Louth out? Is that something that ever cross your mind?
Yes, I suppose there was, even at the end there, Kieran looked for a pass inside there, you know, and we were in a good position. They needed the ball. We didn't need to kick the ball in that situation. Looking at Dublin last night against Derry and Celtic Park, you know, that was probably the hallmark of their performance, really, that, you know, the composure they had in the ball and their decision-making on the ball and not getting caught in possession, but yet and all being able to progress the ball. So they're obviously the barometer for the rest of the country, and you need good players to be able to play that game. So definitely there's all those learnings are still there, Brendan.
Yeah, and just finally, Jim, just on those injuries, 2 weeks to Kildare now, and you're on with McCall missed out today, Jason McGee, Owen Bann, Niall O'Donnell, Conor O'Donnell, you know, Keelan Ward, you know, there is so many guys to come in, and all guys could potentially start for your team. So is there any update on their progress?
Well, Keelan obviously is longer term, like, you know, when he's kind of working his way back. Owen Bann's going to be another period of time as well, so he won't play in the next game, you know, and it's for us it's trying to get him ready for the end of the league or for the Championship match. Jason McGee has got good news about 10 days ago, and so he's just working his way back now. We're hopefully going to have him training with the squad probably Tuesday week, hopefully fully integrated. But as I said to you one other day, like, the numbers dictate a lot of this in terms of what they can cover and the ground and all that type of stuff. So we're getting very close, and I know I keep saying that every week, but we just have to keep working with the medical team and have the bigger picture. And we're all focused on Derry. We are all focused on Derry, but there's a long summer ahead too, hopefully. So it's just a matter of getting them back as quickly as possible.
Yes, great to hear from Jim McGuinness there. And as I say, after the game, I also caught up with Kieran Thompson. Here's what I had to say. Kieran, just before we get into the game, you made the Ulster Club All-Stars team at the weekend, a big night for you personally and a great honour for the club.
Exactly, it's always nice to get individual award, I suppose, so it was a nice wee cap on last year. Delighted to get it, and just great for Niamh Connell and great for myself too, so happy days.
Yeah, very well deserved. Kieran, just under today's game, Donegal flying high in the league. As you all know, Louth's position probably didn't reflect their performances, losing a couple of games to a point and one by two. This was always going to be a bit sticky today, and that's how the game panned out.
Definitely. Listen, we knew coming into the game their last few games were always one or 2 points in it, like, so we knew it was not going to be nothing easy. They were going to throw everything at it. They had to try and come out and win and get points on the board to try and stay in Division 2, and from our point of view, we had to come out and try and get 2 points to get up to Division 1. Like, we weren't as happy with the first half as probably as we should have been. We were sloppy in the ball, giving away the ball, just counter attacks then kind of killed us. But second half was a lot better, thankfully.
Yeah, and just the way they were sitting with that low block and defence, you know, I suppose from the game we've been playing, the power run that we're doing, we couldn't really get that game going. It was more we had to be a bit smarter, a bit sharper in the ball, but that didn't happen. And then they were counter attacking into us. We kind of got sucked in to their game plan, and it always leaves you exposed then at the other end.
No, exactly. Listen, we tried to play the running game, you know, down the middle, and we just got turned over far too many times, and we should have been a bit more composed. We were probably a bit frantic when we had the win. We thought we had wind. We probably thought we had to get a few 5-6 points ahead, but really we just should have stayed composed. I think we showed good composure in the second half to work the scores and come away with the victory then in the end.
Relief maybe with the goal. It was kind of one of those moments it looked like at that point, you know, the game could go actually either way, so the goal was pivotal. We went to 6 points up, and from then on we kind of controlled the game.
Aye, listen, it was a massive score for us by QE. It was a handful in there at full forward, so fair play to him. He won the ball and just laid it off, and it was a handy goal. But yeah, that gave us a nice cushion, you know, and we kicked on from there and keep the ball and then just work our scores even more then.
Yeah, a couple of weeks to Meath now. Does that mean a very tight week's training coming up? That's what everybody from outside the camp seems to think.
Aye, listen, we're in a good position now. We're definitely in a good position to get up to Division 1 to get into that league final. So we'll put the head down another few weeks for the Meath game then and really just to get into a league final now. But we've a wee bit of breathing space, so hopefully we can put hammer to the tongs a bit.
Yeah, and a huge week for your school as well. Soccer final, Gaelic final coming up, Kieran. You weren't there on Friday night when there was a fashion show. Obviously, you were up at the Hillgrove, or I would have had you catwalking.
Aye, thank God. I'm not used to the catwalk, so I'm happy enough I missed that. But, no, great for the boys there in Skull Warrabun Crannan to be in that All-Ireland final now on this Saturday coming.
Kevin Campbell's been asking your advice on a lot of things, I presume.
Aye, well... I don't know about that, but I'm just there to give him a hand whenever he needs it. So, yeah, happy days.
Yeah, top man Kieran Thompson there. Of course, we're playing Kildare in 2 weeks, not Meath, and even mixed him up. Listen, that's who's up. That's the last two games, Meath, on the last day. Now, I say Gordon Manning's waiting here to talk to us shortly. We're going to get them after this break. Are you coming through?
I can indeed, Manning. Can you hear me?
I can indeed, Gordon, and I can see you too, lad. You're looking sharp as ever.
Absolutely not. I'm just back from under-8 training here, windswept and blown away.
I can see the bit of colour in your cheeks, all right. It's no harm, No harm, dude, no harm. Gordon, you rang me last week. We had a bit of a chat. You were doing a piece on Cormac McAnallan on the 20 years and just the fact that his last game, myself, and he marked me in a McKenna Cup final. And we had a good chat then. And the way of the world, I said, would you come on then and have a yarn? And here you are. So much appreciated.
Well, thanks for having me, Brendan. Great. And look, it was really interesting last week talking to a few people who had remembered Cormac down through the years. And it's kind of hard to believe I was born in the same year as Cormac, so it always kind of resonated with me. And to think it's 20 years ago now. You told a great story, I suppose, about marking him in his last game for Tyrone in that McKenna Cup, and how he didn't react to maybe some of your Machiavellian ways of freeze that day.
Yeah, maybe on Tyrone. Like, I don't want to insult any of my Tyrone friends, but Cormac had he was one of those kind of really classy footballers that didn't need to get involved in any of the shenanigans. You would have never heard any smartness, no cheek, no wild slides, and that you would have seen with some guys. He was just a class above that. And, probably, the man that he was, even in that short time, his career, I think, was so much larger than even what he did on the pitch, which was unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think you actually summed it up nicely. You said that we only got to see maybe a glimpse of what he could have achieved because he was such a GA man, I suppose, that he, I think you mentioned maybe he could have gone down the path of Jarlath Burns, and I don't think anybody would have been surprised if we seen him go that way as well. Like, but in 24 years, he achieved so much in his life. And it just really is kind of hard to believe he's 20 years gone. And I guess there are lots of people playing inter-county football who don't even remember him, and that's kind of almost scary when you think about it.
Yeah, it is indeed. Gordon, listen, was a lovely piece to do. Gordon, just we're looking at this game from the weekend. We're going to start with Donegal, of course. Just from an outside, and I love getting outside perception, Gordon, first of all, on Division 2, you know, we're obviously very channeled in there. Armagh went down. We've seen signs of Division 2 for a few years there. Nobody wanted to be in it because there was such a difference in standard. Now, it has come up a bit, but what I've noticed this year, even like the way we hammered Cork and Fermanagh second half in particular, there's not much in that for Donegal. You know, the Armagh game, there was good intensity there. It wasn't probably the game of football maybe we expected. But there's definitely, Gordon, even though Division 2 has got a bit better, you want to be in Division 1. That's where you need to be. You know, you look at, I suppose, what the Dubs brought to, brought to Celtic Park at the weekend. Like, that's the difference, isn't it?
Yeah, like, I've been at a lot of Division 1 games this year, and I was actually at two Division 2 games, and they were actually Donegal Armagh and Donegal Cork. And, look, I think Donegal and Armagh are clearly the two best teams in Division 2, but then there's a step up again in pace to Division 1. Just even the quick decisions needed to make, you know, decision-making in tight circumstances. And it is a faster pace in Division 1, and that will be a concern, I suppose, for Donegal management as regards when they go to play Division 1 teams in Championship. But the flip side of that, Brendan, is, like, if you are Jim McGuinness now looking at coming into this year, like, he's able to do things in Division 2 to look at players, to try tactical approaches that maybe he might not have been able to do if they were in Division 1. So although Donegal wouldn't have chosen to be playing Division 2 football this year, in some respects it might just suit them in this early part of Jim's second coming to tinker with a few things, to try a few players, to try a few different approaches and game plans. So look, you can look at it glass half empty, glass half full. As the summer comes, certainly playing against a Division 1 team, we'll find out then how much off the pace maybe Division 2 is. But I think for Jim and his management team, they will see this as an opportunity to try out things, to look at different players and to build a bit of winning momentum. And that's no harm for any new management coming in.
Yeah, listen, I totally agree. I think the way, and Jim has blooded some new young players there, and he's saying if they're, it gives them a chance to, I suppose, get find their feet in terms of they're being backed up by, you know, quite often a better side in terms of around them and that. So I think there's definite merit in that, Gordon. Gordon, Louth's tactics, obviously from Hart and Devlin in there, Louth were playing a certain way, Ulster type football, you know, and Ger Bredin's was in there. They played a very, very negative tactic yesterday, sitting deep. And listen, it couldn't really work. And this is the thing, I suppose, you know, they're looking at Donegal thinking, we got to contain them. We're away from home. I can understand that. It was very, very negative. Physically strong, big side. You know, their midfield, their inside line were very good. And just when Donegal needed it, they conjured up a goal. But apart from that, it was a very, very negative. And the game itself never caught life then. And you can't, I suppose you can't blame Donegal maybe too much in that. And I spoke to Jim after just about maybe our composure when you're facing a blanket defence, that we were poor on the ball, we give away a lot of turnips. But from the Louth perspective there, Gordon, what do you do there? I mean, do you come and have more of a cut, or do you go and play the tactic that they did?
Like, I'd say for Louth have been on a bit of a downward spiral in recent games. They've lost a number of games on the bounce, and they're kind of fighting for their lives now. And they probably looked at this game, Donegal, and say, look, if we get a point out of this, that'll be a fantastic result away from home. They've lost a couple of games very narrowly. They've been very unlucky. So I think they might have been approaching that in that respect, that if we can get a point here, it would be brilliant. Donegal were obviously approaching it in a different manner. But look, for Donegal would have felt before this game they were going to win this game. I reckon, as I said, I was at the Armagh game. I reckon they would have put a lot of stock, a lot of preparation into that Armagh match. So going into the Louth game, I don't think the performance was as good at the weekend as it was against Armagh. And I think maybe just to get that come down after the Armagh game, might have just had the same appetite, maybe subconsciously even, to go in and play Louth, a game they might have expected were going to win anyway. But look, I was looking at Donegal over the course of the league. Like, their scoring rate is, compared to their scoring rate has been quite strong. Like, you know, they've 90 points altogether, which is the top in the division. And like, they've an average of scoring an average of 16 points a game. And like, they're conceding an average of 10 points a game. So like, I think Jim will be happy enough with those, you know, those averages. And they've conceded 15 points against Louth, which is the most they've conceded in any game since Jim has come back. So although Louth might have been negative, I'd say there'll be aspects of Donegal's performance that Jim wouldn't have been happy with when you consider that 15 points is the most they've conceded since Jim has come back.
Yeah. Oh, because I say inside, like, we all know about Mulroy, you know, Burns as well, big Dernan in early midfield. Like, they were hitting us on the counter then in many ways. And it can be different. You're the home team and the better team. You automatically, they gave up the kick out completely. which again is something you wouldn't see in Division 1 really, hardly ever. Gordon, teams are trying to squeeze up and trying to take the game to them. So they had aspects of their play which was very good. I think Jerry Brennan's a good coach. He had them well set up. And as you say, even though they're facing relegation, you know, the Cavan game and the Armagh game, a point each, Meath they probably should have beaten. So the league position probably is a bit tough on them. If that had been away from home at the point where just before we got the goal, I would say, you know, you would have probably backed Louth at that point. So it's funny how the league now is looking on them in terms of where they were and what they're at.
But I think also, Brendan, like, I think teams are, and this is maybe another of the McGuinness effect, teams are kind of spooked by Donegal nearly before they play them now.
Good. And they're I like to hear that.
Yeah, well, I think they're setting up, you know, with Donegal in mind more than maybe, you know, taking on their own game plan sometimes. And, you know, the Cork game in particular, like, Cork's, I'm not sure what Cork were trying up in Ballybuffet that first day, like, and Donegal just had completely figured them out after a number of minutes, and Cork just didn't know what they were doing. I think Donegal had like 12 different scorers that day. And, like, you just wonder if you're Loud coming up there, like, before you even set on the bus coming up, I think Loud had decided that they weren't going to win this game. They'll try and get a point. And I just think that, you know, whether it's Jim's reputation or how Donegal have been playing in the division so far, it kind of precedes them, and that would have had an effect on how Loud maybe approached the game at the weekend.
So it's looking now, listen, Donegal now have Kildare away in a couple of weeks time in Carlow, and then Meath at home. It's kind of almost set up already for a potential Armagh Donegal league final where they'll basically just kind of shake hands and play about the ball. I can't see, particularly Division 2, you know, going up. I think it'd be about 3 weeks before the Derry game if Donegal do make it. So it's going to be a strange enough finish to the league. I would imagine that game now won't just get the pulse racing, should it happen, Gordon.
Yeah, no, like, probably not. But I think, like, what mission number one for Donegal this year was to get out of Division 2, get back up to Division 1, and that's all but being achieved now. You'd be very surprised if that doesn't come to fruition at this stage. So look, the league final in Croke Park, maybe a bit of a bonus game down in Croke Park for Donegal, but all attention. And it's interesting, I've heard Jim reference Derry in several interviews over the last number of weeks, so the focus within that camp is obviously towards May and Derry already. Look, whatever happens in the Ulster Championship, I mean, if Donegal were to win Ulster this year, would there be a more difficult provincial title won anywhere in the country? Like, it probably, like, unlikely. They'd have to beat Derry, possibly Tyrone, possibly Armagh to win a provincial title. Like, it'll be the hardest one Ulster, or the hardest one provincial title anywhere in the country. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not sure, and I know Jim is a big, big advocate of the provincial system and provincial championships, but, like, I'd imagine really the All Ireland series is where their season can really kind of take flight. And, you know, we've seen last year the draws in that and what group you put yourself in or you get put in can have a big influence on where you can go, like, in the season. So I think I think Donegal will have a big say in the championship, no matter what happens in the League Two final. It won't be a game that will define them, but I think it'll be Jim will look at it as a bonus game, an opportunity to get down to Croke Park and give maybe players a run out and headquarters before the championship.
I guess, Gordon, now the condensed season is why I think previous to that, you know, run out in Croke Park, go 1 minute, and then there's this break into the championship, and maybe not back to back Ulster champions in Celtic Park. Do you know what I mean? I think very much it'll take the shine off that type of game, and everything's looking like that. Do you know the small things there? Just looking, you look at subs, Donegal have six players, I think, out at the minute who all potentially could start, you know, and if we get them back, you know, and you look at the squads, the depth of squads, and I think is the key, is the subs coming on. It's Hugh McFadden there, you see, just a small thing, or his power inside meant that he won a ball he probably shouldn't have. And that sets up the goal. And that goal, you know, at that point, Donegal were shaking. I think it might have been back to a point, you know, in Louth, where Donegal were just getting a bit jittery. And those small moments in the games, and you look at subs coming on, Gordon, it is often the key to the game, is the game's always going to open up. And if you have those impact players, if Donegal get those back, I think three or four of them will be back in the next couple of weeks, it does give Donegal a huge advantage from last year. Because there's six, seven, eight of those guys weren't involved last year. So coming in with many positives into this championship, Gordon.
Yeah, and like you mentioned the squad there, and I think that's going to be huge, especially in like in the condensed season, if you get injuries, if any players pick up injuries, you need to have another guy up that can come in and fill that void. And I think Donegal have looking at the players they've brought in and been able to bring in off the bench. And there are a couple of players I know to come back from injury. Like the Donegal squad now looks pretty deep. Like it looks like it's got a good bit of talent there. But it's going to be key to keep Oisin Gallen and Patrick McBrearty injury free. Like if those two guys can catch fire on the same day, like it'd be what an afternoon that would be for Donegal. Like if those two guys hit form, like they're, you know, and Gallen's again reputation is almost preceding him because I've noticed in matches he's almost been double marked.
Since Kevin, he has been getting it tough, and it hasn't happened for him that much yet. But that's something he has to live with. Yeah.
That expectation though, Brendan, the fact that reputation that he's got talked up so much, and he is a fine footballer and very talented player, that opposition managers and coaches are wary of him. So they're kind of, they're setting up defensively to curtail him. And I suppose, as you said, he had to kind of maybe deal with that as well. But that, you know, McBrearty, from what I've seen, and you will have seen more of him, is playing a slightly different role this year.
Yeah.
But again, he looks on it this season. And if they can keep those two guys injury free, I think that'd be huge. Also, I mean, the return of Ryan McHugh, Ryan McHugh is probably one of the best ball carriers in the country. But I just know when he's on the ball, I just think Donegal look more. He looks like they look calm, or they look like they know that this guy knows he's going to make the right decision with the ball. He kind of pulls the strings, he controls it like a puppet master almost, bringing to play, and his engine and his work ethic. I think he's huge to have back in that team as well. So look, I think there are a lot of positives for Donegal, but no more than any team, you have to keep your key players injury free.
Yeah, and certainly Muir playing at full back there, he's played in so many positions. First year in there, flying it, and say Patrick McBrearty, 8 points, man of the match. He's really not just, I suppose, the scores. He's leading the line. He's working hard, and he's really playing a captain's role. Fantastic to see. So we'll see how that plays out. Gordon, how Celtic Park played out on Saturday? Were you surprised by the Derry lineup in terms of their season, and particularly with a couple of games that they had? Maybe. I thought he might arrest the players after that. I know my friends of Roscommon were hoping that Derry would do that. But certainly, yeah. I thought this was going to be a good testing game for Derry. And then after the team that they played, it's just left a lot of questions, has it?
Yeah, it was a strange selection. I didn't foresee it, to be honest, because Mickey has kind of set his stall out, like and we know him from over the years, like he. Whether it's the McKenna Cup, like winning it year after year, winning the league, like he's all about winning matches, keeping momentum. And to kind of send out that signal with your team selection at a packed house Celtic Park, it took this thing out of the air, out of the game nearly before it started. But look, who are we to question Mickey and his record and what he's achieved? But obviously he didn't want to go in for a fist fight here. Like this wasn't the game they were going at it. They were going to give other guys a run and see how they measured up against Dublin. But essentially, the message they were sending out was they didn't come for a 12 rounder here. Like they were kind of if they got beaten, they got beaten. Which is, look, Mickey Hart won't, you know, lose too much sleep over Derry's record against Dublin, but they never lost. Dublin had never beaten Derry in Celtic Park, like, so you're giving up that as well. Like, but that's look, I'm guessing Mickey has a bigger plan. He's obviously looking down the road at a league final already, and perhaps getting silverware there and perhaps meeting Dublin again. The last two times Dublin played in Celtic Park, Derry beat them, and subsequently then Dublin did a number of them on them back up in Dublin when they met in the league final last year as well, Division 2 final. So look, I think maybe Mickey was looking at the bigger picture here and seeing that they'd rather perform in a league final in Croke Park than maybe show their full hand in Celtic Park. But it wasn't a decision I expected. I actually thought that Derry would try and maintain their winning momentum.
Yeah, but particularly I think, Gordon, because of what the Glen players were on the bus to Kerry, which nobody could get over. So I can't get my head around this. I know Conor Glass, an engagement party in Derry on Saturday night, and I think he was kind of given the night off, and all the lads joined him or whatever. So listen, strange that it was that game. If it was the next couple of games, Gordon, would have totally expected. But speaking of records, our Tyrone friends don't have a great record down Kerry. Who has, let's be honest? I was looking like they were beat the last three games by a combined total of 50 points down in Kerry. Now, they didn't lose that much. I was at their game the previous week in Healy Park. Yeah. So again, trying to figure out where Tyrone is at. There's so many question marks over all the teams, isn't there? Gordon, where are Mayo at? Where are Galway? Where are Roscommon? You know, taking injuries aside and that. What did you make of that? Another, I suppose, routine one for Kerry in many ways.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they were far superior than the scoreline, final score suggested anyway. But, I mean, the thing about Tyrone is, like, they're just one of the most inconsistent teams in the country. Like, they're so inconsistent. I mean, what they started off this year, beat Roscommon, lost to Derry, lost to Galway, beat Mayo, lost to Kerry. And going back again to last year's championship was similar as well. Like, they don't seem to put two or three wins together in a row. And look, it's very difficult to know the reason why teams are, you know, can't find that kind of some consistency, but they haven't found it since they won the All-Ireland a couple of years ago. So it has to be a worry for them, has to be a concern. Look, the bright sparks for them are, look, they have some marquee forwards. You know, that Dara Canavan's playing brilliant football, Rory Canavan, Darren McCurry. Like, they have talent. Niall Morgan is one of the best goalkeepers and kind of orchestrators of in the business, kind of quarterback-esque kind of a player. So they have talent. It's just the consistency piece for them is just, it's not there. And, like, I'd say it's very frustrating to be a Tyrone fan because you're just not sure what Tyrone team is going to show up any weekend.
Yeah, indeed. Even last week in that Mayo match, 4 points at half-time, and then absolutely blitz Mayo. Dan McCurry himself had an 8 personally in the second half. So you're right. Listen, very, very hard to figure out. Gordon, I want you to nail your colours to a mast and go down the Ulster. Give us your Ulster Championship winner. No, this is a difficult one. I'm going to ask you for a go at that one.
throw the balls up and see where it land. Well, before I actually say it, but one team I know that we're kind of watching out for, and I'm not saying they're going to win Ulster. I don't think they will, but they're down or playing some football in the league this year. And they're on, I suppose, the easier side of the draw, if you want to call it that. But they've scored more goals than anybody else in the league. They've won 5 on the bounce. They're going to get promotion from Division 3. And Conor Laverty has them moving really well. So you're going to have another team coming into the mix in Ulster in the next couple of years if it wasn't already competitive enough. But as regards who will win it, I mean, you'd have to say marginally with no great conviction that Derry are still probably the best of the bunch there. Yeah. And maybe with Mickey and kind of that new momentum of focus on trying to get another year of fame in Ulster again. With marginal call, Derry probably further down the road than Donegal, but when they both meet, who knows? And then you've Tyrone coming into the mix in the quarter final. It's the most difficult of all the provincials to call, but the best team in it at the moment is probably Derry.
That's it, Gordon. That's what I wanted to hear. Keep talking up the Derry men and we'll ambush them men. Gordon, there's some fantastic stuff as ever. Of course, down, looking to get up. 8 of the 9 Ulster teams will be in Division 1 and 2. Only the Antrim men outside of time. Maybe they'll get in the year after. It's not looking right this year. Gordon, listen, thanks very much for the roundup as ever, and I'll be talking to you as the season goes on.
Brendan, great. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Man. Gordon Manning here of the Irish Times. We're going to take a wee break, folks, and then we're going to hear from Donegal's Niamh McLaughlin. Yes, Donegal were defeated in the Division 2 ladies by Tyrone. It was 1-12 to 3-11 in Tyrone's favour after the match. Maura Donnell caught up with Niamh McLaughlin.
So, Niamh, disappointed with that result out there today?
Of course, you're always disappointed when you don't win the game, I suppose. To be fair to Tyrone, I thought they were well set up and they took their chances when they were on. Some good things, some things to work on, but I suppose we're just a work in progress.
Yeah, would it be fair to say they looked a lot more clinical out there today than maybe Donegal missed a lot of easy chances?
Yeah, I think so. I think they definitely have a lot of very good forwards and top quality forwards. I think as you said, they were just a wee bit more clinical in front of the net. Our gears did well as well. There were a few gears chipping on the scores and stuff, but probably as a whole, they were better at that, yeah.
Yeah, and I have to mention maybe the penalty opportunity in the second half. Claire Friel did well and probably very disappointing to get a yellow card after that. She perhaps saved you maybe a few more times in the game as well.
Claire's been great for us since she came in last year, and look, it's one of those things that you're the girl, just looking, thinking back about it now, there was probably one or two things that could have been a foul before that or something, I don't know, but no, it's not Claire's fault. And yeah, she saved us a lot of times this year and last year, so no, it's nothing that we'll hold against her.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, I suppose going out into today's game, you really were in a chance and a position maybe to get in within the top two. That's not looking like the case now, and Tyrone probably secure enough in their position. How do you feel about that, another year in Division 2? I know we spoke about it before.
Aye, look, I suppose when we spoke about it before, the aim is always to try and get up to Division 1 again, but you do that by focusing and trying to win every game, and look, that's what we're trying to do. And look, Tyrone, well, I think they're probably well worth their promotion if they get there. They've been doing really well this year, and they're a good well team put together. But look, we'll just go back this week. We'll review ourselves and we'll dust ourselves off and get ready for Cavan in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, and probably could see you there, Drone. Probably 5 years maybe in Division 2 now at this stage. So, you know, you'd be hoping not to stay in Division 2 for five years.
No, it is definitely a really tough place to get out of. Sure, Armagh were the same there. They've been in Division 2 finals this last couple of years, and they only got out just the year just gone. So it's definitely a tough place to go. And I think even the results today were a bit... probably a wee bit unexpected. I think Westmeath beat Tip and stuff, so it's definitely a very maybe a wee bit of an erratic league and stuff, but look, we'll just focus on ourselves and keep going.
Yeah, look, I know probably people are thinking now at this stage with Tyrone on, I think, 13 points now, Donegal are on 7 points, 2 games left in the league. If Tyrone lose their next two, Donegal won their next two, there's still not a possibility going up to number two, is there? Or what is it? Does it come down to goal difference or the game that you played today?
No, I think look, we're just going to go out and try and win. If we win our next two games, that'll be us up to 13. And then, look, it's a kind of out of our hands from there. You're kind of hoping another result. So, as I said, maybe it takes a wee bit of pressure off us. But we're just, as I said, we're just going to go try and work on ourselves and develop. And that's what we kind of focused on this year. And for maybe the years to come, is trying to just get Donegal football back to sort of where we should be and where we think we should be. And I suppose that comes from getting the underage structures in place, which we have done now this last year or two, and really pushing at it and going developing from there.
Yeah, thanks to Maureen O'Donnell there for that interview with Niamh McLaughlin. Now we're turning our attention to All-Ireland Schools, and we have one of the busiest men in the county, Kevin Campbell, on the Zoom. How are you, Kevin?
How's it going, Brent?
Lad, you're at it again. Hey, this has been some successful season. Kevin, listen, are you getting a break at all? I was down, you gave me a late call on Friday night to come down to your fundraiser there. We're doing a bit of catwalk on Friday night, but you weren't about. But you were up, of course, at the Club All-Stars. And good night, a good Satanta crew up.
Yeah. Look, Brendan, I just want to tell your listeners there, Brendan helped us out very last minute for a fundraiser for the school. I'm emceeing a fashion show for the night, so I just want to say thanks, Brendan. But yeah, night, Friday night. It's good to get those recognition, you know, for the club players. And very, very good night. A couple of sore heads now on Saturday morning, but yeah, very, 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 very good night, yeah.
Listen, hey, that you're well-deserved after everything you've put in. Kevin, You're a man of many talents now. You're coaching the Scullawarra football team, and you're an All-Ireland final this week. A massive, massive achievement. Of course, as a coach, you're like, right, one step away from the ultimate. But even to get this far, it's been a huge season, Kevin. Listen, and what about Kieran Thompson down there? I was joking with him yesterday. Is he giving you a hand at all? But listen, things going great at the school.
Yeah, it's been quite a roller coaster season for us. Myself and Kieran talked last year about, you know, maybe trying to win an Ulster inside the next 2 years for the boys, because I think we're a crop of players to do it. Obviously, it's came a year earlier for us. But look, we can't sit and take the credit. As I said many times before, like, the clubs down here, none of you own, Bert, Muff, Buncrana, doing great work on underage. And, you know, if it wasn't for them, we probably wouldn't be in this position, you know, we wouldn't have the caliber of players to work with. So, you know, a lot of credit must go to them.
Yeah, and so many clubs is pulling into your team there, Kevin, the side that you have in the final.
The majority of them is pulling in from Buncrana, and then we have maybe five or six from the Muff Club, and then maybe two or three, four maybe actually from the Burt Club, and then we have one from Oris as well.
Very good. And you know, you need that game. Like, I was speaking a few times, Gary McDee was on about St Junan's, and he was up playing a side in the north, and he said there was something like 20-odd schools all together that were, or 20-odd clubs all together that was featuring around the school, you know, and it's, I suppose, it's that disadvantage. Donegal is so spread out, so that makes your achievement all the more remarkable, Kevin, that you've come this far.
Yeah, it's, yeah, like, you know, I know a lot about schools football there because there are a lot of relations play up around the north, and you know, the kind of setups they have, and it's nearly like a like an underage development squad setup that most of them schools have. I heard about, you know, schools going away for training weekends in the country and stuff. So, like, they're really at, you know, next level long before a lot of the schools kind of got to that level. And I look, when you like, you look at St. Pat's here, Mahara, they're picking, you know, there's boys and ungiven might pass three secondary schools to school to St. Pat's just for the fact that they have a chance to play at Macquarie Cup level. So, it is quite hard for Donegal schools, but you know, Ullins there have been flying the flag years gone by. Abbey have put on a fantastic season this year, you know. And look, hopefully the schools keep pushing on and, you know, always try to better themselves year in, year out, and try to push the bar a wee bit higher for the boys coming behind them again.
Mm. And Kevin, tell me, what's the style of football at a school's level? We see how tactical football's getting, you know, between kickouts and fly keepers and all that. What is the general styles out there? I know different teams would be playing different styles, but what have you come up against in terms of your opposition and the way you play yourselves?
Yeah, like, a lot of the schools are quite well set up, you know. Like, a lot of the second schools will have on a footballer or, you know, some kind of coaches in a high level. And like, when you have a group of boys that are willing to listen and learn about, you know, it's not easy, but it's manageable to set up a defensive structure which will contain other teams to, you know, a reasonable score. It's at a decent level. Now, there is, of course, a couple of teams that they'll come up against, and, you know, for one reason or another, they might not have the players, or, you know, might not have been together enough. But, you know, you can definitely see this, that the teams that have been out working on things and the teams that haven't been working on things. But the standard we've been up against so far, yeah, it's been fairly high, and I've been quite impressed with it now.
Yeah, and your opponents, have you got video analysis? Have you got information? Is there a lot of fishing has to be done?
Aye, no video analysis as such, but a lot of fishing been done. I ringing different teachers and principals and people who go down in Offaly and training match reports and stuff. And aye, they seem to be quite a attacking outfit. I think in the first 21 minutes, all six of their forwards have scored from play. So, and reading the reports, it's just full gung ho, full out attack. And then on the flip side, they've got a couple of sticky man markers in the back line. So look, we're probably going to be have to be on our game defensively to be able to, you know, overcome them on Saturday.
Yeah. And given the school's in a soccer final as well.
Aye, the girls there, unfortunately, got beat today in the All-Ireland Senior Girls. And I think the boys have, is it an Ulster final coming up? I think we play Gador in it. So, and there's quite a large number of them boys that will play the soccer. We'll be playing the soccer final. We'll be playing in the Gaelic final, and they won the Northwest basketball. So look, it's a real talented bunch of lads that are coming through the school at the minute. And look, we've got to make the most of it whenever we can.
Yeah, indeed. And Kevin, I suppose it takes such an effort behind that. In terms of you, has Kieran been helping out down there? Is that have you been leaning on him a small bit? It must be great to have someone of his caliber about the school as well, because, you know, all these young guys you're trying to inspire to the next generation, you know, they look up to people and everything that you're doing on the pitch, and you have someone like Kieran in there as well at the school.
He's you know, fantastic. He's got that experience of elite level, and like, you always kind of question yourself to some degree about, you know, am I doing the right thing here? Because, like, we've got boys that have been up in county development setups and, you know, played in minor county finals. So, you know, me personally, I suppose, if I question myself going, you know, am I doing the right thing here? Does this kind of sound right? Because maybe my ideas or concepts are kind of maybe leaning towards a hurling background a bit more, or, you know, kind of thinking outside the box too much. Whereas Kieran's the kind of the reasonable head that can kind of go, no, look, we'll play it this way because X, Y, and Z. And, you know, it's great to have him there, build a bunch of ideas off him. And yeah, look, he's a role model there for a lot of them boys. He's up, you know, doing stuff for the club and then doing stuff at county level as well. And like, all them boys will aspire to play county level someday, whether they get there or not. You know, it's kind of what they'll be striving for the next.
Yes, indeed. Did we lose Kevin there? I think we might have lost our Kevy there.
Hello, sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
You're back. Come on, Kevin.
I'm back. Sorry, a phone call coming through.
You're all right. Tell them how they just... Who was it? Tell them you just interrupted Highland Radio live broadcast. There you go.
The Democrat.
Patching through. I hope it's not another radio station. Hey, there's nobody like us. Kevin, listen, I'm just going to say last, we're down the last minute and a bit here. Kevin, tell me this, so Red Hughes come looking for you to coach their football team, is that a possibility or...?
I don't think so yet. They've got a good fella in there this year from Tyrone, by all accounts. So I had a fella up in Tyrone actually messaging me about it to see what kind of outfit they are. And look, hopefully they do well there. They've got a very good team coming through on their race. But no, definitely no approach on a club team yet.
Oh, listen, the reputation is building. I think you could turn your hand to the ring. Kevin, tell me, obviously I spoke to yourself and Niall just about next year and that. Has there been many more... discussions yet about the plan for management next year of Setanta?
Yeah, so Niall again and the rest of the backroom team are going to come on board. I'm stepping away at the minute just because of family issues for family commitments, but hopefully all going well. I'll be back in at some stage in the year, back in the management team, but I'll still be netminding, unfortunately, for the year again, so there's no real way out of that one.
That the magic fly keeper. I'll tell you what, you weren't too bad at it. It was an absolutely epic season, and I say we had a great night a few weeks back, hey, and it was brilliant occasion, Kevin. Brilliant to meet Richie as well, and that, you know, would live long in the memory. And my mum, even we everybody had a brilliant night up there. Hey, I want to thank you very much for that, Kevin. And so listen, on behalf of all the team here at Highland, hey, we want to wish you all the best at the weekend, of course. The same to Abby VS and their manager, Stuart McFadden. Stuart actually is training, I think, an underage team tonight. He couldn't make it for a wee interview. But we want to wish them all the best as well. Kevin, hopefully we'll talk to you with the cup, and we'll get a wee word off you maybe next week.
100%, Brendan. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. That was Kevin Campbell there. Thanks very much for wrapping up the show. Joe Dex for producing. I want to thank all my guests. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions.